Keys to the Kingdom by Jerry D. Young. May I help you? It startled Kevin. He just stepped up onto the first step of the porch of the Ozark Homestead house, with key in hand. The woman's voice came through the screen door, but Kevin couldn't make out any features. It wasn't Polly. I think I should be asking that question, Kevin said evenly, coming the rest of the way up the steps onto the wide porch. Just who are you, and what are you doing in my house? Where's Polly? Mr. Crane? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were coming. Polly, my aunt, is ill. I've been taking care of her and the house. I'm Samantha Bouvier. Come in, please. Samantha opened the screen door and stepped aside. Kevin went inside the house for the first time since those confusing days just after his great-grandfather's death. It looked and smelled the same, almost. There was a trace of scent in the air. Kevin's eyes cut to Samantha and then away. What's wrong with Polly? Kevin asked, going into the kitchen. It was just as spotless as he remembered. He turned around and looked at Samantha. She took a bad fall during the winter and broke her left hip. She lay on the cold ground for hours before someone came by. Wound up with pneumonia. She won't stay in the hospital. She's decided she's on her deathbed. Kevin had to smile slightly at that. Polly had been a bit of a hypochondriac, if Kevin remembered correctly. Is it actually serious? You know she tends toward hypochondria? Kevin nodded. She's in poor condition, but with bed rest, good food, and her medications, the doctor said she'd be fine in a few weeks. That's why I'm here. She has nowhere else to go or anyone to care for her. We can't afford a boarding home, so with you not here, if I kept up with the work, I thought. Slow down, Kevin said. Samantha's words had begun to run together. It's okay. I'm not going to evict her, or you, because she can't work at the moment. Is it all right if I go up and say hello? Samantha nodded, but let me warn her first. As the two started up the main stair, Samantha first, Kevin hurriedly took an extra quick step up to raise his eyes a bit higher than the level of the nicely filled jeans Samantha was wearing. A few minutes later, Kevin greeted Polly. She was propped up in her bed, covers up to her neck. I'm sorry, Mr. Kevin. I just get so sick sometimes. There were tears in her eyes. Now, Polly, you just calm down, Kevin said gently. Everything is fine. You made a good choice to bring someone in to help. It's not a problem. I want you to get your rest and get well, no matter how long it takes. Yes, Mr. Kevin, Polly replied, her stiff posture softening slightly at Kevin's words. Samantha will take good care of you. She's a good girl and knows how to work, just like me. So I've seen already, said Kevin. Everything looks just fine. Now I'm going to leave you to get your rest. When Kevin and Samantha left Polly's room, Samantha said, Thank you, Mr. Crane, for being so understanding. Please, it's Kevin. I can't get Polly to break the Mr. Kevin, but there is no need for you to be so formal. You're more Polly's guest than employee. But, speaking of that, I'll put you on the payroll for the work you're doing, and have done, back to the time you came to help Polly. Mr. Kevin, that's not necessary. You're still paying Aunt Polly. I've been eating your food for some time. Payment isn't necessary. You work, you get paid, or I hire someone to fill in until Polly is well enough to work again. And no arguments about her staying here and staying on the payroll either. She's been a loyal employee of the family for years. She deserves the best I can provide for her. Samantha obviously didn't like it, but she held her tongue and simply nodded. Aunt Polly had said all the members of the family were headstrong. I'm going to take a stroll around the property, Kevin told Samantha when they were back in the kitchen. I'm about to prepare lunch, Kevin. What would you like? Just whatever you're going to make for you and Polly will be fine. Kevin went out the back door and stood on the back porch for a moment, just looking over the backyard. Everything looked just the same. It even had the same feel. Kevin walked out to the outdoor garden and checked a few of the plants. Polly was a great gardener, and apparently her niece was as well. Going out farther, Kevin checked the orchard. The fruit trees were looking just as good as the garden. So did the nut trees and bushes. His great-grandfather had hired an arborist to care for the orchard, and the firm was still doing a good job. The nearby chicken coop and rabbit hutches were empty, but in excellent shape. The small group of beehives were active, however, with bees coming and going regularly. Keeping an eye out for the copperheads that they'd not been able to eliminate in the blackberry brambles, Kevin walked around the perimeter of the backyard. It was delineated by the brambles all the way around the garden and orchard and blueberry and strawberry patches. He walked between the rows of grapevines and their supporting structures. The vines were in good shape, too. So were the kiwis, grown on similar support structures next to the small vineyard. Going to the opening in the blackberry brambles at the furthest point of the backyard, Kevin walked into the 20 acres of coppicing woodlot that supplied the homestead with firewood on a continuing basis. Each section of the woodlot, from the area cut the previous summer to the one ready for harvesting this summer, were all showing the same signs of care the arborist showed the fruit and nut trees. Next, going back into the backyard, Kevin checked the homestead's work barn. The Unimog U500 looked ready to tackle anything. So did the Bobcat 5600T Toolcat utility vehicle, with its large selection of attachments lined up neatly beside those for the Unimog. The three-wheel hydraulic cherry picker unit used in the orchard was off to one side, parked next to the Rockon, new two-wheel drive motorbike and the trailer used with it. Leaving the barn, Kevin went to the large greenhouse where salad vegetables were grown.